Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you, and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to From the Kitchen Table. I'm Sean Duffy, along with my co-host of the podcast, Rachel Campos Duffy.
Hey, Sean, it's so great to be at our kitchen table. But actually, let's just be honest. We're not at our kitchen table today. You had to go to D.C. I'm here at the house. And as you know, Valentina is not feeling very well, our youngest. And she's laying down next to me. And I thought I'd let you hear her snoring so that if during the podcast people hear this sound, they'll know it's not me falling asleep. Can you hear that? Can you hear that?
I can't hear it really deeply.
It's like baby snoring. It's baby snoring. Anyway, we have a great podcast today because we have some great topics that are like fresh off the press. So today we're going to be discussing one of my favorite topics, Harry and Meghan, who are just being super evil to Prince William, his brother, and his sister-in-law, who are on a tour here of the United States. And in the middle of the tour, right at the start of the tour, they decide to release the trailer for their new Netflix docuseries. It's full of all this new footage, and it's really stealing the thunder from the prince and the princess who are here in the United States. But there's another story, Sean, and this is the one that you're most excited about, and that is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has decided to pull the state investment, so the 401k investment money from the state of Florida, from BlackRock, because he's angry that they're investing, you know, all these hard-earned people's money into ESG, environmental social governance, which, you know, as you know, is just a lot of climate stuff and a lot of social justice stuff that doesn't actually make money for the people who are investing into the fund. So, Sean, maybe you want to start with that and give a little more background, because you've been waiting a long time for someone to do this.
And it doesn't maximize returns, right? So when we invest our money for retirements, we want to make sure that we get the best return possible. So we have as much money as possible in our retirements. And there's been this new movement afoot by elite globalists who want to invest in and push ESG, as you mentioned, environmental, government, and social. And it's not putting a priority on return on investment. And and we're going to get into what Ron DeSantis did, but what's troubling here is a company like BlackRock, who they have $8 trillion of people's money that they invest. Ron DeSantis only pulled $2 billion of that out. So this is like peanuts for BlackRock. But BlackRock uses that $8 trillion to then push companies to buy into this ESG movement. And if they don't buy in the ESG movement, BlackRock threatens to not use your money to invest in them, even though it may be a good investment. And so the power through investing your money that BlackRock has is immense. Larry Fink is the CEO and an incredible wokester at BlackRock. And so what you're now seeing is
Sean, are you saying, so what BlackRock does is bully companies into having all these woke policies and climate change policies that aren't good for their company's bottom line. But if they don't do it, then he won't use people's 401k money that they are holding on to and invest that into your company. So essentially you're bullied into doing things that you don't either A, believe in, or B, think will help your bottom line.
Right. And so if you don't have a lot of people investing in your company, that might affect the stock price performance of your company, which means that affects your ability to do research and development that might be the next generation of your product. So this really matters. And what's troubling, Rachel, is the fact that you might not agree with ESG. You might think this is a horrible set of policies. Again, saying whether it's the environmental investments, but also we need diversity, equity, and inclusion in your company, which means, listen, I think diversity is important, including people is important, but I want the smartest people in a company to rise to the top. I want the smartest people being hired and promoted. And they want to make sure that you have a certain quota of different kinds of people, which aren't based always on skill. It's based on the quota. This is a recipe for a disaster in regard to performance of companies.
But won't that, yeah, I was just saying, won't that be bad for the company? If the company is, you know, hiring people to meet this racial quota that BlackRock wants them to meet, they're just not going to be as good of a company. Or if they're implementing green policies that don't really do anything for the environment, but cause them to spend money on these things, that's not great for the company. It's just not good.
Well, I'll tell you this, China doesn't have ESG, yeah. Right? they're not pushing their companies to have an ESG model. And so what's important is, so here's, you might go, well, you work for Fox, Rachel, and you have a retirement with Fox, right? Or anyone listening, you have a 401k. Well, you don't have the ability to invest your money in whatever kind of money manager fits your politics. Your company, or if you're in the state of Florida, your state decides who's going to manage the money for the retirees. Fox decides who manages the money for you, Rachel. And you can pick a number of different funds within that company, but they're still going to a company that Fox picks. And so Florida had their money managed. And again, a behemoth, the biggest in the industry of money managers is BlackRock. And so what Ron DeSantis finally said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pull our retirement money out of BlackRock because we don't think BlackRock is focused on return for our citizens, return on investment, right? They're focused on these other social priorities, which, by the way, don't actually match the values of the majority of Florida voters.
Yeah, so they're using our cash basically to fund social engineering projects and other things instead of maximizing return. So he took $2 billion, Sean, out of BlackRock. You said that's not a lot, but it could be the beginning of a movement. Do you think that BlackRock is worried that this may be the way other Republican states go and that they're worried about this? Or are they laughing about the measly $2 billion that Ron took out?
No. I think they look at states across the United States, and you start to see Republican states pull their money from BlackRock. That, you know, again, that might be small potatoes for BlackRock, but those states elect members of Congress and senators who reside on Capitol Hill, and that creates a whole set of problems for Larry Fink and BlackRock. As the Congress, especially one controlled by Republicans like the House, start to do oversight on this issue and its effectiveness. And what, you know, you have a duty to get return for investment of your investors. And the problem here is we think they've lost that focus. Now, Larry Fink will say, no, we're still getting great return on your dollar, but we're doing it with this greater ESG cause. But if just a step back, Rachel, you look and see how corporate America, the top levels of virtually all of these corporations have become very woke. And again, it might come from Harvard and Yale, Stanford, the top universities that graduate smart kids and they elevate to these top level positions in companies. That's one part of it, yes. But the other part is on the investment side, the Larry Fink side. They're pushing them to go even further on these woke policies that, again, to your point, don't benefit always the bottom line of the company, which then doesn't benefit the investor who put their money with BlackRock. And that's what this is all about. And so
But there's BlackRock, but are there other companies? I've always been surprised, Sean, that ESG, that, because I've said to you, I don't want my Fox retirement money going to an investment firm that's focused on ESG. A, because I don't believe in ESG and all the social engineering and climate crap that they're pushing. But B, I want my 401k to do the best that it can. And you said, well, they're all like that. So would this happening to BlackRock and the potential that it could, you know, create a trend here, could there be, and I doubt BlackRock's going to change his point of view, because as you said, Fink is like a very committed wokester and is trying to virtue signal and do the bidding. Because I actually think a lot of this ESG stuff is actually, it's like a contribution to Democrat Party and their policies. I mean, because these aren't in line with conservative values, so Republican values. So could there be another investment fund that says, okay, let them do that. We'll be the people are just focused on profits, and maybe it will attract more business that way.
So there's the other big ones that do this, and all the big ones are Vanguard and State Street. Also our money managers that have gone woke, but Florida was not the first state to pull their money from BlackRock. And I know we kind of, this seems like it's in the weed stuff, Rachel, talking about ESG and BlackRock and some companies that you don't really hear a lot about, but this is at the center of the fight that we're in. Using your money that you disagree with these policies to advocate for this one world order, these ideas that are going to take us in a really bad direction. But again, I said Florida was not the first. Louisiana pulled their money out. Now, they don't have as much as Florida, but about, you know, almost $800 million. South Carolina withdrew $200 million from BlackRock. So you asked, Rachel, also, well, what can be done? Well, you have people who are taking the initiative themselves. Look at, if you watch Fox News, Vivek Ramaswamy. You see him on Fox all the time. He's done our podcast. And he was a tech guy, a finance guy. And he said, I'm going to start my own fund. And by the way, I can't remember the name of his fund right now. But I'm going to start my own fund.
I remember this.
We are going to invest and maximize return for investors. And it's going to be, you know, people like this, Vivek, or even Elon Musk, who says, you know what? I want free speech in America. I'm going to buy Twitter. Apple, you want to take my phone off the platform? I might just start my own phone company. There's still Americans who believe in free speech or in investing for return, and not, they haven't bought into the whole woke ideology. But the reason this conversation, again, is important, I mentioned your money, but also this has been happening for a very long time and we haven't noticed it. They've done it quietly and pushed it. And all of a sudden, kind of like the school systems, the school systems have been going woke for some time. Democrats for decades have been working on taking over your school. And it's only now we see the fruits of their labor, where it's almost too hard to roll it back. That's the same thing in this space. And I think when we wake up, when we get woke ourselves as conservatives, to use their term woke, and start to realize we have real power, how we spend our money, where we invest our money matters to this economy. And when we just say, well, I got to think too much. I want to make it easy. By the way, we're guilty of that. I think Amazon is as woke as all get out, and we use Amazon a lot. There's not a good alternative. And so, but I do try to make choices that support businesses that match our values.
Yeah. So it's Strive, I believe, is the name of the firm.
Strive Capital. Yes.
Strive Capital. And I think that, honestly, you and I have had this conversation before Louisiana and Florida did this. And we were upset about the fact that our 401k money was going in there, but there were no alternatives. And I asked you, remember after we had Vivek on a while ago, and we had been talking about his fund, and I was like, I wish Fox would give me an option to use that. But could other companies do that? Could companies like Home Depot, companies that maybe have sort of, you know, more Republican leadership, more conservative leadership, say like the NHL, they're investing the funds of their hockey players. Could they go, could an investment fund like Strive be an option for them, or does Strive have to get way bigger before that would happen?
Well, you know, they have to make those choices for themselves. But I think what's important is that they look at, well, what fund is going to maximize the return for my community, my employees, and what company fits my values. And you gotta go out and search and find it. And by the way, if you work for someone, and again, you put your money into a 401k, and you're with BlackRock or State Street or Vanguard, you gotta say, listen, push your management to go, maybe we should go somewhere else. Yes. Because I don't want to put my money into these ideas. You also just a quick note on this. We can, I don't want everyone's eyes to gloss over, but it's important. But you also have state attorneys generals who are looking at ESG and some of the policies around ESG and how that might be violating their state laws. And so
because the law is that you're supposed to be maximizing the money of all these people who are in the fund and in the 401k. And if you're not, then you're not. Now, they'll give you all these answers as to why actually, if you're working on the climate change, you're actually investing in the future. And they'll give you some, wokey BS answers. But I hope these attorney generals, and actually, is there a role for really quick before we, so I want to quick talk about the politics just a little bit, but is there a role for, you used to sit on the Financial Services Committee in the House. Is there a role for Congress enforcing these investment companies to be focused on return and not this, social engineering and climate change?
Well, so the tip of the spear doing oversight on this is going to be the Financial Service Committee where I used to be. But we also have this philosophy that we have freedom, right? If you don't like the way they invest your money and how they use your money for their political movements, go somewhere else.
But I can't stop, Sean. I mean, I work for Fox, for example, or somebody else works for another company, a big company, and they're putting your money where it goes. Now, I can as an individual person pressure that, but ultimately, shouldn't these funds not exist except to turn a profit?
Well, that's my view. But by the way, just so you, we're talking about, I'm using Fox as an example. Fox does not use BlackRock, just to be clear on that. So, but if you're just, and this is the last point I'll make, if you're in Oklahoma, if you're in Texas, if you're in Louisiana, they produce a lot of energy there. They have a lot of tax revenue that comes from oil and gas. They have a lot of jobs that come from oil and gas. And if you have the retirement money from Texas going to BlackRock, and BlackRock is attacking the oil and gas industry through their ESG policies, they're undermining your very way of life.
Right.
And so that it's imperative for those states to look at, hey, what do we do here? And they're trying to actually destroy our economy. Why would we give them our money? And that's what's happening now. And that's happening in states right now. They're starting to think through this far more effectively. And
we're always 10 steps behind the liberals. It's so infuriating. I'm glad we're waking up to it. And now let's talk really quick, Sean, about DeSantis is just off of, a pretty impressive win in the midterms, really solidifying Florida as a Republican state under his leadership. His leadership, there's just no way around denying that his leadership, his handling during COVID of the state is why you had counties in, in Miami, for example, Miami-Dade County, turning around in these incredible numbers for him. And so now you have him coming out and doing this. I mean, he's making some really big moves.
No, he isn't. I mean, he was one that was standing up for, I believe it's Title IX, with girls competing in actual girls' sports, not letting men say they're girls and compete in girls' sports. So he's been on
and
the
he pushed back against Disney on transgender. I mean, he seems to have like a really astute political nose for what everyday common people are interested in.
And he's done really well. And I'm not sure if he's going to run for president or not. He and Donald Trump used to be friends. Not saying they're not friends now, but I think that.
Safe to say they're
not. that's a real consideration that DeSantis has to take. Do I want to go against Trump? And Trump plays a different political game than Ron DeSantis. Being good on policies is wonderful for voters, but sometimes as you dig into a political campaign and two people are on a stage together and how they handle questions and how they rough each other up, that actually matters. And Ron DeSantis has not necessarily been tested that way. He might be great. He may not do very well. And so
I think, hard to see until they're on the stage. It's true. And good, you always say, Sean, good primaries, rough primaries make for better candidates anyway.
Metal sharpens metal. No doubt about that. So that's yet to be seen. But again, Ron DeSantis, I think, I don't know that, Rachel, I might disagree with you that he's turned Florida red. I just think there was a lot of even moderate voters, even Democrat leaning voters who go, like, what he's done worked. And I love what's happening in my state. And I love my kids. And I love that he pushed back on Disney and said, we're not going to talk about sex to first, second, and third graders. Not radical. But the Democrats and Disney walked right into that trap to go, yeah, no, we want to talk about not just sex, but transgenderism to your little kids. I mean, who doesn't disagree with that?
Yeah. And my only beef with
of Ron DeSantis has been remarkable.
Yeah. My only beef with his Disney policy was that, you know, it was only like K through third grade or something. I'm like, I don't want anyone talking to my kids about sex. I don't care what age. I don't even want it in school. I mean, there's no need for it. They're getting enough information through their parents, hopefully, but also the internet. I don't trust anyone talking about sex with my kids other than me. So there's that. But I'll say this. He also, to be fair, benefited from a lot of people leaving places like New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut and moving to Florida because they were so frustrated with the lockdowns. Even people leaving places like Michigan and going, I'm done with Michigan. I'm moving to Florida. There was a lot of, I guess your point is there was a lot of factors that played into it, but there is no doubt that Ron DeSantis took the opportunity of barely winning in Florida when he won his first, election there as governor. And he almost lost that. And definitely Donald Trump is a reason why he won it. But he took that opportunity and he has been fighting for the people of his state in a way. And I also, the other thing I like about him, Sean, is that he, when he closed down the state, he came back and he said,
I'm sorry.
I'll never do that again. And I love that humility, which is something people say he doesn't have. It was one of the criticisms of Ron DeSantis. But I will say I did like that he came back. He was one of the few that said, you know what, I made a mistake and I won't do that again. So anyway,
let me give you one last example for the Ron DeSantis success. So he's been successful by all stretches, but I'm going to give you an example that you've heard me say before. When I gave speeches, and I gave a lot of speeches in politics, you always want to go after someone who's not very good, right? You don't want to go after a rock star speaker, right? It's never good to go after Donald Trump if you're going to give a speech, right? Because no matter what you do, you're going to be a letdown.
That's
you want to go after someone who's maybe not a very good speaker because then you appear to be that much better. This is a little secret of politics, everybody. You want to go after someone who's not good because you come across better when you give your speech. Ron DeSantis benefited from everybody, almost everybody across the country doing such a horrible job, right? Yeah. I mean, they were so bad with their mandates and their lockdowns and their schools. And
very few governors that stood up and did it right.
Yeah.
Christy Noem did it, Sean.
She did. And she's on the national stage because she did do it. And we went to her state during the pandemic and it was fantastic. We went to dinner with her husband, Brian, and we sat down without masks. Like, isn't this, oh my God, this is.
Yeah, we were in the middle of
weird,
all that.
But it was awesome. Yeah. Anyway, that's the last point I wanted to make on Ron DeSantis.
We'll have more of this conversation after this.
Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
Let's move on to the your more excited topic, which is the Royals. We have some questions. Lay it out for us.
So it's interesting. So you had, as I mentioned, that Prince William and Princess Kate were coming to the United States. This was a big deal. They haven't traveled like this. I don't know if this is the first time or what that they've traveled here together, but it certainly in a long time, we haven't seen them come. And this was a much anticipated,
he's been prince. First time since he's the new prince, they've come, I believe.
That must be, maybe that's right. Maybe yes. That's right. But in any case, they're coming and several things have gone wrong. So the first thing that happened is just before, just as they're landing back home in England, across the pond, the new soon to be Queen Camilla has a big event and it's a charity event. And this is sort of her big coming out party, if you will, for her charity. And, there's been a lot of questions of whether she'll be accepted as the queen because she has this, sordid background with the beloved, being the mistress for the future king. And, everyone loves Princess Diana and Camilla just never could measure up look wise or otherwise. And so here she is, she's going to be the queen and she has her big coming out fundraiser charity event. And while she's there, they call them lady consorts, I guess. I think that means that they were that this older woman, she's in her 90s. She's invited to the event representing the royals. And I think it means she was maybe one of the bridesmaids for, Queen Elizabeth when she first got married. I don't know exactly all of that, but she's, a minor royal figure, but she's there. And she talks to one of the recipients of the charity event. And this woman who is one of, runs this charity for women, I think it's like for domestic abuse, happens to be of British descent, but happens to be Black. And this older woman, again, she's in her 90s, asks this woman if she's from Africa and kind of continues to ask, basically imply that, where are you really from? As the woman responded and said, I'm from, such and such place in England. She goes, yeah, but where are you really from in Africa? So this becomes this huge deal, a big racial row, if you will, in England. I think it's a generational thing. I kind of excuse that kind of stuff because I think it's probably generational. I think she's thrown out of, she's no longer a royal. She's stripped of her title. And so Kate and William are landing in America as this racial row is exploding in England. And of course, this is an interesting thing. It's not just a one-off because back in the United States, you have Meghan Markle and Harry who have implied through their Oprah Winfrey interview a couple summers ago that the royals are racist and that there was somebody in the family everyone assumes is Camilla, by the way, a lot of assumption that it's possibly Camilla that said, what color, what shade of color do you think, the new grandson's going to be? And this also, I think, is a generational thing that has been skewed into a racism thing. But in any case, that's always this undercurrent that the royals are racist. And of course, the royals, Sean, as you know, have this colonial past and there's, imperialism and cultural imperialism. So there's all this stuff going on. And William and Kate are supposed to be like the way to turn the page. And frankly, Harry and Meghan Markle were supposed to help turn the page on that, but it didn't work out that way. So they land in the United States. And as they're landing and they're dealing with the scandal in the middle of it, just to make sure that everything, to steal their thunder, Harry and Meghan Markle just happened to drop the much anticipated trailer to their big Netflix documentary. Because remember, Sean, they said they moved to the States because they didn't want to be with the paparazzi, but then they signed a multi-million-dollar Netflix deal. Where they're actually doing a reality TV documentary, stealing the thunder from William and Kate. Back in England, many people are saying that this should be the final straw, that, soon to be King Charles should absolutely strip Harry and Meghan of all the royal titles, that they're clearly antagonistic towards the royal family, the monarchy, and they should do that. Now, I've given a lot of background for Sean, because Sean does not follow. So given what I've told you, now what do you think?
So my first question is, America's a big country with a lot of interest in the royals. Is there really not enough room for both Harry and his brother to have the stage at the same time? Does this Netflix, story really mean he's trying to steal the thunder from his brother?
Well, I mean, look, the Daily Mail there's only one place for the top story, right? And the Daily Mail, which is where we all go to get our royal news. The headline is William and Kate, but it's sort of tinged by this racial stuff. And then underneath is like this beautiful, picture from the trailer of the documentary of Prince Harry and Meghan sort of hugging in a way that like the stiff Will and Kate could never hug that way, because they've got that British stiffness, and their only show of affection is they sort of barely hold hands as they walk stiffly. And then here's Harry, all in love and lovey-dovey. And so, I get what you're saying, Sean, but it's happy news for Harry and Meghan, and it's, more trouble for Kate and William. And it looks, and again, when they went, I don't know if you remember this, Sean, a few months ago when they went to the Caribbean, there were also protesters, calling them colonial imperialists and whatnot. And there were, again, threatening the Commonwealth and everything that Queen Elizabeth had built and building goodwill with the Commonwealth. So I don't know.
Okay,
I guess.
So let me ask you another question. So obviously, Meghan and Harry have been on the outs with the royal family. They leave England and want to come and make their way in the United States, get away from the paparazzi, as you said. They get as much press as they can here. So their projects thus far have not been wildly successful, if I'm accurate.
They just got a big award from the Kennedy Center, like for their charity, which I still don't understand their charity. It's just them calling people, telling them good work. I don't know.
But they're about being really rich and really famous.
Yes,
and so
that's right.
What if you're Netflix and you're Harry and Meghan and you're like, my brother's coming over. There is no better marketing time than to drop your trailer when he lands in the country. So I get everyone to go to Netflix and they all are going to watch this documentary. Everyone's going to know about it. And that means, one, I've earned the money that they've given me, but I'm going to re-sign another deal and make even more cash so I can live in an environmentally unsafe home, massive spewing energy. I can fly in my private jets. I can live like I'm a king without the responsibility of being a king, and dropping it right now, marketing wise, brilliant. Maybe not brotherly, but financially,
definitely not
kind of smart.
Yeah, you bring up a point. Maybe, listen, there was, Netflix wanted to drop this sooner, and that they had to, they pushed the drop date for the premiere of this series. And by the way, it's an $88 million series. Can you imagine getting $88 million? So it was pushed back out of respect for the Queen's death, right? They pushed it back. But you're right. Maybe Netflix is like, maybe Harry knew this was a bad deal to drop it at this time. Maybe he wasn't trying to hurt them. But Netflix also is like, hey, we got $88 million invested in these people. We're going to drop it now. And you got to bet that Meghan Markle is like, oh, great. I'll get to steal all the thunder. That may be, she may have been down with it, but maybe Harry didn't like it. But Netflix at some point has to look out for their product, right? And you're right. It is a brilliant time to drop it. And it creates more controversy. I mean, we're talking about it today because, there's all this controversy as William and Kate are coming here with what's happened back with the 90-year-old royal. And by the way, the woman, the royal woman who made the racial comment, or it's been skewed as a racist comment, is William's godmother. as well. So he's now tied to the racist person. And then this drops. I mean, you're right. I mean, if you look at the Daily Mail, you look at the tabloids, this is all everybody's talking about. And so it's a brilliant move, I think, marketing wise, but I think this might drive a permanent wedge with the brothers, and it's got to really tick off Prince Charles, who has shown that he has very little patience with Harry.
Can I give you another take that's, again, as you know, like I'm not into the royal family like Rachel is. Mm-hmm. And let me make a case for why I think we should absolutely ignore them. So we just got done talking about ESG and not giving our money to companies that are going to use our money against us to invest in companies and get them to change to be wokesters as opposed to getting return on investment. So you have the royal family. King Charles is a radical environmentalist who is pushing ESG environmentalism around the world. We'll use that platform for that purpose. Again, bad for the West. Great for China, bad for the West. But also you have the two sons that are incredibly woke. They're pushing every bad policy, every bad idea that every radical liberal has. They've embraced and they push it. And I go, why would we ever give them any publicity? Why do we even, if the story comes on about them, why watch it? Because everything they believe in is garbage and anti-West, and it's going to be the destruction of Western civilization, what they're promoting. And no, I go,
there's no question about that.
Don't give them an ounce of anything. You know what? You're rich, you're filthy rich, you're spoiled, and you're a victim. Oh, go pound sand. Get out of here. We have enough problems in America. We don't need your little family feud and trying to sell us on your really bad teeth and bad ideas from Britain.
So, yeah.
I'm a little surly right now. So that is kind of the man's take of the house.
Okay. So first I want to clear up some things because I know there's going to be people listening that are going to go, Rachel, you got this wrong. So she is a lady in waiting. It's Lady Susan Hussey is her name. And she is the one who made the so-called racist comments. She's like 90
years old. Her last name is Hussey.
Her last name is Hussey. So I'm going to make sure I have that right. She's the one accused of the racist comments. But back to what you said, like, to be clear, I don't talk about them because I love them. I talk about them because I hate them. Both of them. And for exactly the same reasons, I find them to be kind of self-loathing. They're insufferable. They're self-loathing. And at the same time, they're super self-righteous. And instead of carrying on, like, you know, as you and I have talked about before, that the role of the king and William is supposed to be the future king, right, after Charles, is to be sort of the head of the Church of England. And they're clearly not practicing Catholic or Anglicans. They're from the Church of England. They're clearly not. They're basically going what they do in terms of what you see happening in church and the ceremony. I believe the Queen believed it as a Christian, all the traditions that they had that were steeped in the church that I believe she abided by. And I believe she was a true woman of faith. These two, I think, are globalists, just like King Charles is a globalist. And that is their religion. And so I don't love them, but I can't turn away from them. And I can't turn away from this train wreck of Meghan Markle, who I have to give her credit. She is the master marketer. And if Netflix didn't come up with the idea of dropping the trailer in the middle of this all important, you know, tour that Prince William and Kate are making to the United States, I believe it was probably Meghan Markle who came up with this idea because she just knows how to do it. She's amazing. Can I just tell you, somebody said, Omid Scobie, he's like one of these, you know, royal watchers. He said, if tomorrow is Prince William's Super Bowl, then the halftime show is Meghan Markle and Prince Harry.
So let me ask you this. Are you going to watch it? Be honest.
I mean, am I going to watch a Netflix series? Of course, yes. I'm going to watch it.
Exactly. So you're feeding the beast.
I can't help
it. You're doing exactly what we say we shouldn't do as conservatives. And so, listen, you got to practice what you preach.
Because I know that this thing is going to be so overly produced and managed by Meghan Markle. It's going to be so deliciously phony that I'm just going to enjoy watching it. I mean,
you're participating in the demise of America. That's all I'm going to say. America.
Is it the demise of America or the demise of the royal family and the monarchy?
Their ideas with BlackRock's ideas and Democrat ideas are the Joe Biden's ideas are the demise of this country. They really are. And so we got to pull the ripcord here. Let's pull it. Don't make me watch it, and you shouldn't either. That's my takeaway.
Okay. There is no way that we can remain married and share a Netflix account and not watch this. It will be our new Yellowstone. We have to watch it.
By the way, we should come back to Yellowstone because it's not been pretty good. Everyone is so mean and unlikable.
Yellowstone is woke. I am so sick of people saying that Yellowstone, I think Meghan McCain and others are like, it's the non-woke series. Yellowstone is way too woke for me. I like watching it, but it is woke. Agreed, Sean?
Yeah, it's been a little bit more painful this season, season 5 to watch. We can get into that a little bit later, but I should quickly cancel Netflix, everybody. And I did for a while, but I should quickly cancel it so we cannot participate in funding these insufferable human beings that came to our country and want to participate in its demise. And I say no. But anyway, that's all I've got on the royal family. I'm kind of salty take.
I agree with your point. And as much as I have tried to remove myself from some of these, try not to fund the woke culture out there, you do get a pass every now and then. And I'm going to call a pass on the Meghan and Harry docuseries, because that reality show is going to be such a train wreck. I just won't be able to turn away from it. Sean.
No, wait, one last second. There's only one email at Fox that I know, and I'm going to give it to you. So if you disagree with Rachel, you can voice your opinion. It's friends@fox.com, right? Friends@fox.com. That's the Fox and Friends email. It's friends@fox.com or friends@foxnews.com. Email in and let Rachel know that she is absolutely wrong about supporting the demise of America with the royal family.
You think that all those emails are going to spare you from watching the docuseries, but it's going to be a podcast, and so you're going to have to watch it as research. So,
I know, darn it. So okay.
Sign out because she's picking up.
Listen, everybody, thank you for joining on this edition of From the Kitchen Table. We appreciate you joining us. If you like our podcast, you can rate, review, please subscribe to From the Kitchen Table wherever you get your podcast. And until next time, have a good one. Bye bye.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription, and Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.